It's Tuesday, February 21st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everyone. Got a great show for you tonight. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and thank you for staying subscribed, for being part of our family here. I know that all of you that are long-term subscribers know the general routine, and I'm not going to bore you with it, but hey, thanks for being with us. I really do appreciate it. And for all of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, hey, thanks for checking us out. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. And subscribe to our podcast mailing list. You can find a link to that in the second column of the website at geeknewscentral.com. And, of course, the archive podcasts are available via the podcast link. Well, hello, all of you. And for those of you that are in the United States, I'm sure some of you were able to get a three-day weekend. I know some of you had to work as your offices did not officially recognize the holiday. But I had the three-day weekend myself off, so It was nice. We had a nice weekend here. My folks are still with us. And the kids had soccer this weekend, and there was a bunch of stuff going on. And today we loaded the gang up, went out to the North Shore, and actually had a great Mexican meal for lunch, and then went out. And the wave action wasn't too high out there. It was only 6 to 8 feet, so not too much to see on the wave part, but we got out of the house for a little bit and drove up that way. Now, I feel sorry, though. My wife is sitting here in the office with me tonight. She's organizing some stuff on her desk, but she has an appointment tomorrow with her dentist to do a root canal. She's got one tooth that's got some problems. And so she goes in tomorrow to get that fixed and hopefully relieve some pain that she's had. And it seems like it's been one thing after the other with her with some dental work. And she's feeling kind of sad about it. But I want to let you guys know to all have her in your thoughts tomorrow as she goes in underneath the drill. And my folks are going to actually go with her to the appointment. And we're going to do some swap around. I'm going to pick the kids up early, I guess, take them to their normal time, take them to appointments so that she can have someone to take her home after the appointment. So are you ready? Are you ready, honey, for your appointment tomorrow? And she's giving me a smile over here. And you know what's kind of funny about that is she had went to Japan last year and had a whole bunch of dental work done. And the price differential on having work done here in the United States or having work done in Japan is considerable. So probably tomorrow we'll incur about the same amount of money as we spent in Japan last year just because the dental costs are so high here. You know, doesn't that just make you all mad? You know, those of you that have dental insurance out there, isn't it just like, it doesn't hardly take care of squat. It really doesn't. And, you know, sure you have a little copay or whatever, but tomorrow will be a cash-in check day. Okay, well, anyway, hey, we'll be keeping an eye on her, and we'll see what happens. But, hey, this week, on Friday, I may have some exciting news to announce out of the UK, believe it or not, working with some folks out there. So hopefully we'll have an announcement to make on a Friday on some things we're doing there. Along with that, we've got some things cooking over at the Podcaster News Network. I'm real, kind of got my fingers crossed on that over there, kind of let the gang know what's going on, so they're all prepped to see what will happen. And of course, we're still doing our promo over there. So if you're a podcaster and you want to get a chance to get your hands on $100 cash and have your promo played across the 70-some shows over at the Podcaster News Network, go over to rawvoice.com. You'll find a link to the to the promo there, and you'll be able to score that and play it on your podcast, and then send an email to CEO@rawvoice.com. All the details are on rawvoice.com, and you'll be able to get in the running for the actual $100. We're going to be actually giving 5 podcasters some spots on the shows, so a good chance there to get some exposure across our network. Did a tech podcast this week last night, and I think we had 6 or 7 shows that were actually highlighted. And so we've had a few newcomers to the podcast, which is great. We added like 20 different shows over on the network within the last month or so. So, and if you haven't checked out the new website design at techpodcast.com, please do so. But otherwise, I've got, you know, it's kind of funny when it's with these 3-day weekends. Sometimes there's a lot of news, sometimes there's not. And today I found a good mix of stuff and some things that I actually found over the weekend that you need to be very aware of. We're going to be talking a little bit about Windows security. We're going to be talking a little bit about Mac security and some what ifs, some questions to ask. What if this happens in pretension to Mac and to OS X? And I've got a whole bunch of other little things that we're going to talk about during the show today too. But first, let's take care of some business here and save you some money. GoDaddy.com presents Traffic Blazer. Submit your business info to more than 200 search engines and directories and position your website for top rankings with Google and other leading search engines. With Traffic Blazer from number one domain register GoDaddy.com, you'll get your share of internet business. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter the code Todd when you check out and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. All right, we're already 7 minutes. Damn, I'm ahead of schedule already tonight. And we're going to get right into the news. Probably will not be 55 minutes tonight. Of course, you know, that's a promise I haven't been able to keep very often. We'll see if we can keep the length a little shorter. There is an article on the Washington Post that you absolutely have to read. And this is for all Windows users out there. You absolutely, unequivocally have to read this post. And it's titled Invasion of the Computer Snatchers. And it's about how hackers are hijacking thousands of PCs to spy on users, shake down online businesses, steal identities, and send million pieces of spam. And if you think your computer's safe, think again. And this goes into, it's about a 7, let me look here. He was posted this on the 19th of February. This thing has gotten a lot of press. This is a 5-page spread on the website. And it talks about, really goes into into one of these guys that run one of these botnets. And it's a 20-year-old guy who he agreed to be interviewed. And he actually is living at home with his folks. And he controls hundreds of thousands of computers across the world. And what he has done is essentially use them to install applications that when you load your browser up, gives you, 25 different porn sites pop up on your browser or steals keylog information. But he's getting, he's making money on this by installing this spyware and installing these ad pop-ups on your machines. And he says he's made an average of $6,800 a month and as much as $10,000. Pretty cool, pretty good money for, not cool, but pretty good money for someone that doesn't leave home and still stays home with his folks. And he's a high school dropout. So, you know, I wonder how he's dealing with the IRS on this. You know, how's he hiding that money from them? Or if he isn't, you know, that's, $10,000 in checks from supposedly legitimate companies coming to him each month. But anyway, he talks about the process that he uses and what he has to do to control them. And it also goes into some conversations about what security officials are doing and what people that have server farms that actually have hosting businesses are dealing with and different types of web services and how they're having to combat this type of activity. And how it's grown out of control. So I want you all to read this because, you know, if your machine is infected, your banking information, your PayPal accounts, your anything that's on your PC, you know, this is, just think about this. give your PC to someone that you don't know and just let him go through it. Let him just rummage around, dig around like he would through your drawers of your house. Because that's essentially what's happening with Windows PCs that have been hijacked. And it had this bot and the spyware and adware installed on it. So I have this link at the top of the show notes at geeknewscentral.com for the podcast show. So make sure you check this out, okay? This is the one that you really, really will want to read. Okay, found this. The second article tonight is a post by Guy Kawasaki. He is a venture capitalist, and he's become quite the blogger. But he talks about how to suck up to a blogger to get your site known. So if you're just getting started writing a weblog, or you have one that you are trying to get more traffic to, he basically walks you through some steps that you can to get yourself noticed. First and foremost is to create a great product, which we all know, content is king. So make sure that you're doing your research on your stories and that you are able to report the information precisely and so that it won't be put upon scrutiny. Number two, he suggests that you cite and link other sites. Of course, linking is the sincerest form of flattery. And I'll be honest, you know, people that link to Geek News Central, I am more bound to go over and add their sites to my reading list than I am sites that don't. So if sites, you know, if you're a blog and you have a blog, and if you are a blog, it's funny. If you're blogging and you see something on the site that you like that we talked about, and as long as you link back to us, there'll be a greater possibility that I'll actually write about your website. Number three, it says, talks about stroking them. If you want to supplement citing and linking, you can send the bloggers emails with these kinds of messages. You know, I love how your site is, and you know, just basically send them compliments. And I don't know if that's necessarily, someone starts sending me compliments every day on my website, I might get annoyed. Number four, if you're a company and you want to get noticed by a blogger, give them some swag, t-shirt, tickets, samples of your product. You know, that always goes a long way to getting podcasters and bloggers to notice your sites. And, of course, always make friends before you need them, and be careful what you say, because don't burn bridges, because you may have to come back and eat crow later to try to get something going on. Number six, be responsive. Number seven, use a rifle, not a shotgun. Number eight, be a foul weather friend. And number nine, be a source. That's the most excellent thing. A lot of you are my source to this show. You guys send me great links all the time. And, you know, if you do send me a link to something, what you need to do is you need to send me the link to your personal website, because I want to give you credit for it. And, you know, if you send me something and you just say, here's a link, and I don't know what your website is, it's going to be very hard for me to link back to you and give you some link love that way. So if you submit something to us at geeknews@gmail.com, always, always, always provide the link to your website so that I can reciprocate, okay? Tonight I've got a trusty glass of Red Bull here to keep the whistle wet. And I need it a little bit. Actually, I'm kind of pooped out tonight. I'm tired. It was a long day, and it really wasn't a long day. It was just we were out a lot. But for some reason, I'm kind of pooped tonight. But hey, I found a good article over on the New York Times, and I don't know how long this will be available before it goes behind the firewall over there. But it's actually in a language section of the New York Times, and the topic is called Blargon. It's Blargon, like jargon, but blargon. And what it references to is the specific types of talk that bloggers do. And we have our own little lingo. Now, a lot of the lingo from blogs has been crossed over from mainstream media. For example, and this is something that's crossed over from website stuff. You'll hear people say above the fold. I get this from advertisers all the time. Will our ad be above the fold? And it's essentially the same thing on a newspaper. It's above the fold. Will the main story be above the fold? Well, on there's a lot of this little type of special vocabulary. And what you need to do is, if you want to get up to speed on that special vocabulary, check out this article over at the New York Times. It's kind of short, real quick, kind of comical, and some of it makes sense, some of it may not. All right, there's a very good article by Dan Gilmore, and this is going to maybe upset some of you, but he asked in his posting here, Apple abusing copyright law, and it's got a question mark. Now, ZDNet reported this weekend that Apple used cited the DMCA to axing sites discussing the Mac OS for PC integration. And they went out there and basically told these sites that they could not discuss integrating Mac OS X for the PC because it violated the DMCA. Now, in my opinion, as well as what Dan is suggesting here, it appears that Apple may be abusing the DMCA in this in these cease and desist orders. And I'm going to read here from Dan's article. He says, this strongly suggests that Apple is using DMCA to stop even a discussion of how to use its new operating system. The DMCA is bad enough, but abusing an already bad law would only make matters worse. And he goes on to say, the company has a long history of challenging speech. This looks like yet another unsavory example. Now, I don't know that history, Dan. I guess I haven't been around and heard what Apple has done to, I know they've took some sites out to sue them for talking about products earlier, but apparently the sites that they asked to have information take down are back up, but they have removed a post from certain members. It must be they were getting, too close to the sweet spot for Apple's comfort level, because nothing's going to destroy Apple's baseline business quicker than if it is completely possible to buy OS X and load it on my HP Pavilion here sitting on my desk. Would I run both operating systems if I could? You bet. Would I buy another Windows machine or Mac machine? I don't know. But I would run the operating system if I could dual boot my PC. So a lot of other people would like to have that too. And this would break up what Apple has controlled here for so many years. Is you want their software, you have to buy their hardware. And with them going to an Intel chip, it's going to open up a door here for creative hackers to do just that. And it's inevitable. And it's going to happen. So, but we'll see how much more Apple goes after these type of sites that are talking about this. Now, how many of you astronomy buffs out there have always wished for the fact that we would be able to, or astronomers would be able to find stars in solar systems that would be good candidates for harboring life? Well, a report has been produced, and a list was produced by a lady by the name of Margaret Turnbull. She's an astronomer at the Carnegie Institute of Washington. And she has essentially went through information of 120,000 stars to make a hunt for signs of systems that would be more efficient for supporting life. And one of them that made the list is only it's just 26 light years away. It's a yellow-orange sun called Chara. So, if we can figure out a way to, hop on the Enterprise and get to 26 light years into that system, we'd be able to see if that system was able to support life. But they came up with a list, I guess, of stars that would be what they consider perfect conditions. So its chart is one of five stars named as promising hotspots for life. Now the question is, what do we do with that info? It's comical, but how do we get there? So nice to see that they're reaching out there and trying to figure this out, but I don't know what good it's going to do most of us in our lifetime or our future generation. I'm sure a thousand years from now, that it might be able to be possible, but 26 light years away, I don't think we're going to be going there anytime soon. Okay, there's a cool article on, and for those of you that are electronic geeks, and I know that I'm one of those electronic geeks, I like looking at new technologies. There is a claim, and actually a patent has been received by a company, or actually by a research group. And this is called Parallel Path Electromagnetic Motors, a Revolution in Motion. And I'm going to read just a little bit of the article here that came off of the Open Source Energy Network over opensourceenergy.org. Joe Flynn from Flynn Research is working on a new technology called Parallel Path with Boeing PhantomWorks. The technology claims to be able to increase magnet motor efficiency substantially, even over the 100% barrier. Now, here's the skinny. Anytime you have a motor that is running, there, you know, you have to put X amount of power into it to make it turn X number of revolutions, okay? Well, there's a magnetic field that's created by that motor when that happens. And usually that magnetic field is much, much smaller than the energy being put in. So, you know, there's really no trade-off. That most of that energy or most of that magnetic energy goes to waste. But what they're saying is because they have found a way to essentially drive or to a way to deflect or to effect the magnetic lines of flux, that they're able to get a higher efficiency, four times higher than what is currently being produced out of normal motors. Now, this is huge implications to electric cars, all kinds of stuff. You know, this is huge, and this has kind of been independently verified, and this is pretty significant in the fact that you know, we're talking about efficiency here and being able to develop some efficiency in motors, return of power path, you know, the whole nine yards. Pretty cool. Now, I just got a pop-up message from one of our got this from Jim. He's one of the regular readers over here at the Geek News Central podcast. And, this is a link to, comes off of Podcasting News. And it says, he just sent this to me just now. He says, NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory podcast. And description, NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California sent robotic spacecraft to every known planet in the solar system except Pluto. JPL mission also studies the universe. Okay, what they've done here is they've cracked, you know, they basically have captured, they've got a lot of good podcasts here. One of them is Lightning Crackles on Saturn, Stardust Samples, all kinds of stuff. So if you guys have not listened to this, he just sent this to me. I don't know why. Thanks, Jim, for the link. Oh, he says it's a new NASA podcast, features the sounds from Saturn's lightning. Oh, that's why he sent me the link. Oh, that's kind of cool. So strange sounds were captured by the Cassini spacecraft when it witnessed a lightning storm on Saturn. Well, you guys want to check that out? I'll put this up in the listener links in the show notes. See, that's just a link comes in from a reader of the website and a listener of the show. And you got it live as I could anyway. Okay, there's reports out that Fedora Core 5 is going to be released here in the next few days, and are actually seeing that some of the information is starting to pop up on some of the mirrors. So for those of you that are Linux fans, keep your eye out for Fedora Core 5. And I'm sure that you're all going to have fun with that when that's officially released. Okay, which Windows Vista will you run? You have 8 choices. It's actually more like 6, and it's only the only differences between 6 and 8 is depends on where you're living, because the European version of Vista is going to be different. There's going to be a Windows starter. It's going to be a Vista without Arrow, probably meant for developing nations. There's going to be Windows Vista Home Basic. It's going to be a basic Windows Vista for your single PC family. Doesn't sound like much going on there. Probably the same as XP Home. Then there's going to be Windows Vista Home Basic N, which is the European version of the same, but without media player because of the rulings against Microsoft in the EU. Then there's going to be Windows Vista Home Premium. This is the one we're all probably going to own. It's got Media Center functionality, cable card support, and the whole media shebang. Yep, it sounds like me right there. Also, they got Windows Vista Business. It's going to be like XP Pro, but named Vista. Then, of course, there's going to be Windows Vista Enterprise. It's going to be the business version of Vista with numerous enterprise features like virtual PC, volume encryption, etc. And then there's going to be Windows Vista Ultimate. Isn't that a great name? This one does all of the above and more. And of course, this review came from Engadget over at Engadget.com. And thanks to them for that article. Okay, over on O'Malik's blog, he talks about TiVo's next move. And he was predicting last year that TiVo was going to go to a model where they were just going to give away their recording sets and or the DVRs, and then it would go strictly to a subscription model where you would be, you know, you get a TiVo if you pay for a 3-year subscription or whatever it may be. So I guess that's being discussed over at TiVo, and you know, they're trying to look at ways to get more reach on their units. I think this is a great idea, TiVo. If you do that, and if the unit's good enough, I will return the DVR that I have downstairs, and I'll actually I'll do the deal that you've got there, and especially if you put my podcast on your TiVo, on your TiVo list for your podcast list. All right, there's been a lot more playing around with Meme Mania, and what that essentially is you know, for those of you that are really worried about what people are talking about, what they're saying about you on the net. You can go over to Technorati, you can go to PubSub, you can go to different sites and find out how much traffic or what is being said about you. And you also can watch the traffic being driven inbound to you via those sites. So a lot of people are trying to figure out which sites are really being effective. And I'd be honest with you, I find that Memorandum has been really, really good for the Geek News Central website. But he talks about, in this article, he talks about how TailRank is starting to become an emerging force. Now, my blog gets indexed by TailRank, and it's over at TailRank.com. And it's a pretty good site, and I'm able to, with some filters, really dig some good stuff out of that site on a daily basis. You got to play around with it a little bit, but I've used Blogline citations before, and it's worked out okay. Technorati, of course, is good. And then Google Blog Search, TailRank is good. So, you know, the key here is getting your sites noticed. And if you get noticed, which sites drives a lot of love to you? I'll be honest with you, the Daily Rotation, which has been a longtime aggregator of the content on the Geek News Central website, drives a significant amount of traffic to our site. I think that site alone is worth 2,000 or 3,000 hits a day, just from that site aggregating our data, and that gives you an idea of the power of some of these sites. If they pick up your content, people are looking at it and can drive them in. So check out this article on micropersuasions.com. Link will be in the show notes, obviously. Okay, Wired has an article about MP3, the format MP3. And, you know, a lot of you that are Mac users, you probably are real happy with the AAC format, being that it is lossless. I know those of you that are big Windows Media Player users like the WMA format, you know, obviously the WMA format and the AAC format are obviously superior to MP3. We all know that. But they're saying now, because the controllers of MP3, who have went in and done some changes and introduced MP3 Surround, is, you know, what it is essentially an ordinary MP3 file with an additional layer of information that tells compatible players where to place the sounds. They're saying that has really given the WMA and AAC format a run for its money. Now, I know the new Adobe Edition 2.0 supports the MP3 Surround, and I haven't really played with it too much. I'm going to have to look at it. Actually, I've had some problems with Adobe Edition 2.0, and we're still recording on Adobe Edition 1.5. And it's all based on some sound card configurations, which I still haven't been able to figure out, which is very aggravating. But anyway, if you're looking, if you have some good headsets, or you have, let's say, the Shure E3C earbuds, you can test the effectiveness of this surround sound with this new MP3 surround format. If you played with that some, or you have some MP3 files that are not copyright controlled that have been encoded with MP3 surround, send me a link. I want to check it out myself and do some sampling and compare it to WMA files. Now, all of you parents out there, it looks like there's been just on the rise a lot of issues with kids being lured out into talking with people that they shouldn't be talking with, or meeting up with people. It turns out, you know, these predators are out there. Some specific sites, I'm not going to talk about those specific sites. I'll let you guys go ahead and read the article over on, it's syndicated from Yahoo. And I'll be honest with you, I may just block two or three of these specific sites, or even let my kids go there. You know, obviously we got to watch what our kids are doing, but we can't be with them at all times. But this stuff is on the rise, folks, and we need to make sure we protect our youngins and make sure that they understand how bad it really is out there, so that we don't put them at risk by exposing them to these predators that are out there. So I'll link this up in the Yahoo, actually in the show notes, and it's it'll be basically say teen at risk on the show notes. Okay, Audible has nabbed a popular podcast. The Ricky Gervais Show, one of the most popular podcasts on the Apple Computer iTunes Music Store, is moving to a paid-only format to be sold by book specialist Audible. Now, I know Audible has been working real hard to essentially push their way into the podcasting space. They had a huge booth at the Portable Media Expo, Podcasting Portable Media Expo, and you know, we haven't heard a lot from them for a while, and I know there's been a few podcasters that have been working with them, but essentially Audible allows you to put DMCA type stuff in your files, so that it's not, you know, so it can't be copied from machine to machine. But this guy is going to be selling his podcast for $1.95 per episode, or $6.95 for the season. But I guess this is only going to include at least 4 episodes by the creator and star of the television's The Office. And they're also going to be also running an exclusive for season 3, which will start in the fall. Now, at $6.95 for the season for 4 podcasts, $1.95 per episode. Well, you know, I did some math tonight, and I think we talked about this before. I think that's a ridiculous amount of money. I really, really do. I think it's too high. I don't know. We'll see how he does and how popular his show really is, if people actually pay for it. We'll see if it drops. We'll see if he drops in the iTunes ranking just for the simple fact that he's starting to charge for it. I want to hear from all of you. Those of you that have listened to this particular podcast, would you pay $1.95 per episode for it? And if you wouldn't, what would you pay? All right. Now, I think I've asked this question on one of our earlier surveys, and I think you all responded that you'd be semi-favorable if we went to a donation type model, only to do $1 a month or something like that. But no plans on doing that. Okay. But $1.95 episode or $6.95 for the season? Come on. Sounds a little high to me. Sounds like someone's trying to fill their britches full of money and on the backs of listeners out there. Okay, here's an article that it's a kind of a what-if article. And those of you that are Mac users out there should take this as a what-if article. And it's via eWeek, written by Larry Seltzer. And he's written quite a few different articles. And the title of it is, What Will Apple Do When the Malware Comes? And or essentially a virus or a Trojan. Now, the stuff that was came out last week was really, it wasn't even really a virus. It was more of a Trojan. And you really had to work hard to be infected by this thing. I mean, you really had to work hard because it was only being distributed a couple of different ways. One was iChat. You had to physically click on it. Then you had to put your password in. You know, you had to do a bunch of things to let this thing in. So it really wasn't very effective. A level one type threat is what it was reported as. But the question is asked, what happens when the real threat or when the real, when something really happens? Not to say that it will, but the bottom line is here, and this is what he is recommending to all of you that are Mac users out there, is, okay, there's been some indications here that the operating system is, you know, either you're going to be compromised via something that tricks you to get through. You know, there's obviously some layers of defense there that you're going to have. But he says that maybe it'd be a good idea to get some sort of protection now before the unthinkable happens. And again, unthinkable because it's nothing's been proven that it's going to happen. You know, I was kind of surprised that most Apple stores don't even recommend that you buy any type of virus or Trojan protection. So we'll have to see what happens. But obviously this last week was an indication that the playing field, at least on the lower level of vulnerabilities, is starting to change. And there's some people out there that have actually started creating some stuff, which is, you know, it's a lot different than it was 2 weeks ago when there was nothing. So we'll see. Okay, I've talked about this site before, and I'm going to talk about it again. It's Podzinger. If you're looking for specific comments that are being made in podcasts, you can use Podzinger at podzinger.com to check out, to try to search for certain terms within podcasts. Some of it is good, some of it is not. Some of it, it comes out, as I know some of my shows, I look at the translations, and it gets about, well, every fifth or sixth word. So you may be able to pick out some of the real clear words that I say. But if I don't mumble, then I'm sure it would get more. But go ahead and check out podzinger.com. Let me know what you're, search for the word geek or GoDaddy or something like that and see what you come up with. Okay, it looks like AT&T is focusing on expanding its reach around the globe, and it's doing its best to make sure that there are fewer ways of using the internet anywhere that don't involve somehow using AT&T's network. And we feel, or at least the some of the people out there are feeling, that this is an attempt to by the Mobiles to stomp out net neutrality worldwide by expanding their reach as much as possible and to tying people in to you know, essentially raise the toll price. So again, more of this type of commentary is going on in the space, that there's concerns out there that these companies are starting to specifically do this. So I'll let you guys check out the linked article via TechDirt, and let me know what you think. Do you think it's some global conspiracy, or do you think that these are this is actions that are really not going to be effective? Okay, for those of you that are Linux users also, especially PHP and Mambo users, if you have Mambo installed on your site, you need to really pay attention here, and also certain PHP modules. Security experts warned of a Linux network worm that exploits holes in the Mambo content management system and the PHP XML RPC library. It's been dubbed the mare.d. This worm leaves multiple backdoors on infected systems. Two of these are connect-back shell backdoors that link to a remote host, while a third allows the malware writer to access and control infected systems via IRC. The main component of the mare.d worm is written in C and compiled with the GNU C compiler. This came out of the F-Secure researcher, Gurgly Ederell. And it looks like the worm is scanning for vulnerable systems automatically and installs a small shell script which downloads the rest of the malware. I'm going to see if I can get more info on that. So if you've got a Linux box on the net, or you have PHP applications that may be affected by this, Be very, 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 very aware, okay? I hate to see your guys' computers or your servers get compromised, because when they do, it is not pretty. It is not pretty because typically the hosting companies will cause will ask for the box to be reprovisioned. And when it's reprovisioned, my friends, that is a nightmare. It really, really is. So keep your eyes peeled and find out more info on that. This came out of hackinthebox.org. And hey, guess what? 40 minutes. 40 minutes and I'm done with content. Let's go over to show comments here. And I think I've got, actually, I know I have some voicemail. I did not actually download it yet. So I'm going to go ahead and click on the link to get into the voicemail account and get logged in. And we'll get that sent over while I am talking about comments that were on the actually on the blog. So we're going to get this over live. So you guys will check it out for the first time yourself. Oh, yeah, we had a 83-second comment made. Hopefully it is in conjunction to something good with the show. Maybe we won't want to play it. But let's see here. geeknews@gmail.com. Send it to me. All right, send. All right, while we're waiting for that to come, let's go back to the show notes. All right, got a email from Ron. And he says, Todd, I'm thinking about upgrading my SanDisk MP3 player. I've heard nasty DRM rumors about Play For Sure. And this is about if the new device that I'm considering has Play For Sure support, will I be forced to drop iPodder as my aggregator for podcasts and use Windows Media Player? I want the extra drive space, but I don't want the extra hassle of changing aggregators and being forced to use Windows Media Player in order to load the MP3 player. This presents problems when the drive approaches full capacity. Windows Explorer will allow me to handle the defragmentation of the older SDMX1 1024 model, but I am sure that Windows Media Player will not. Is it a risk to buy an upgrade that's shackled with Play For Sure support? Ron, oh, I do not know, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to use the audience, and I'm going to go out and see if I can find you the info on this, okay? I'm going to have to dig for it. I do not know. I really don't. And either this has slipped by my radar, or we'll have to, we'll find out. We'll find out what's going on. Also, I got a email from Steve. He says, how come on iTunes only show your podcast up to January 6th? iTunes is very frustrating. Keep up the good work. Love having your mom on. Never take her for granted. Mine passed away a few years ago, and I miss her constantly. She was my best friend. Hey, you know what? She's my best friend too, Steve. And I don't know why you're only seeing shows up to January 6th. Which version of iTunes are you using? That I need to know. I really, really do. And we'll see if we can get to the bottom of this. Okay, I got an email from Ralph. He says, hi, Todd. Just thought I'd drop you a line to let you know that I tried out Pinnacle 10 upgrade, and it's a piece of junk. I'm replacing the word here that he put in there. If you are using Studio 9, stick with it. It is much better with Avid's version. I've been using Studio since the days of the old DC-10 card, and even though it has always been a buggy mess, it has managed to limp along and get the job done. The latest version of Studio 9 is the best one yet. Studio 10 is a massive bloatware mess that eats up your system resource and is slow. It crashed on two of my computers and performed really poorly on the one it would run on. Installing it is a mess too. He says, if you're looking for something to create iPad-compatible videos from your projects, try this. And he points me over at www.cucusoft.com, and it's iPod TAC Video TAC Converter. Hey, I'll check that out. It's really cool. It says not expensive, and will even rip DVDs for your iPod. Oh, cool. And thanks, Ralph, for that. I really do appreciate that. I'm real happy with Studio 9. I really, really am. And I think I actually upgraded from Studio 8. Of course, all the Mac users out there saying, well, just get a Mac. But I'm real happy with Pinnacle Studio version 9. Matter of fact, I've got all kinds of extra plugins for it, too. So we're going to stay away from 10. And I recommend, based upon Ralph's comments, that the rest of you do the same. Also, that There is an email from Davis. He says, I thought you might want to enjoy a recap of an interview that TiVo CEO Tom Rogers gave last week. In an interview, he talks about his own personal experience, what he's been able to accomplish at TiVo thus far, and the direction he'd like to make the company in the future. Mostly notable, he mentions that we could see the adoption of a rental business model. Well, that kind of confirms something else we're talking about tonight, as well as a shift in how advertisers will approach TiVo in the future. And this is over on thomashawk.com. Put the link up in the show notes for those of you that want to check that out. I think that's all I've got. Let me see here. Did the email come in from the voicemail? Let me grab this up and cue this up to play. All right, it's definitely here. Let me double-click this, and this should do it.
Hi, Don. I got a quick question for you. During the last show, you were talking about Pinnacle Systems and their video program. Now, I have the old, just the version 8 Pinnacle Studio, but I wondered whether or not, when I was originally thinking about putting a podcast together, I was originally thinking about kind of developing it off of that. But the problem was that the files it created were just huge. They were like over 100 meg in size, which is fine if you can do a real low resolution version of that. And what my thinking was is a way of selling advertising on, through kind of like a slideshow type of deal. And I think that would really be a good way of adding kind of a marketing mix to it. But I just don't know if the technology has come far enough where you can convert an MPEG 4, convert it down or condense it down enough. So I just want to ask what your thoughts and comments were on that. I know that most of the people that listen to my show do so as they're working, and so they don't really have a lot of time to look at ads and whatnot. But I thought it might be, originally that was the idea. But, with all that said, I'm with you. I'm not sure video casting will ever become more than, kind of a fad. And that's it. So let me know what you think. Bye-bye.
Great question here. Hey, I think what it's going to boil down to is it's all about the tools. Right now, for Windows users to create a video cast that can be played on your iPod, it's a big pain. It really, really is. It's a major pain to do it. There's multiple steps, and unless you have a Mac, it's really, really tough to make an enhanced podcast. Matter of fact, I don't even think there's been some discussions that it isn't even possible to do enhanced podcast that will be able to be played on the video iPod without a Mac. Now, I may be wrong here, but obviously we can make videos that will go on the iPod itself with some of the existing tools. I know that Pinnacle 10 addressed that. Pinnacle 9 does not. And one of the tools that this gentleman linked me to tonight, saying that this would be a good one to use to do some conversions, I'll have to look at it. But videos of, when we do our roundtables at Tech Podcast, we record the screen video that's going on during that show, and I encode that into Windows Media Player format, and typically for an hour, 97, 98 megs is the size of the file. So it is really, really big, obviously. And if you, especially we're running a 1024 by 768 screen size, that adds to the file size because we want people to be able to see the full screen of everything that we're doing. I think it's going to, I believe video is going to be more and more prevalent, but it's definitely harder to do. And I know that you guys don't want to see my ugly mug just by having a camera on me when I'm talking. I think that would be the most dumb thing in the world. I know that there is discussions on making markers within MP3 files so that will either launch a browser to a advertiser's website when you're playing on your computer or do a pop-up of some sort. There's that kind of discussion. But I tell you what, people start doing that, people are going to get mad. The last thing you want, especially if you're listening undercover at work on your computer and then have the MP3 file do something stupid like launching a window and going to a website that you may not be authorized to look at in your workspace, you're going to lose listeners in a hurry. But I know that people are talking about putting graphics and that type of stuff in that pop up in the picture window of the iPod. I'm assuming that some people are already doing that for their advertisers. We're not going to approach it yet. That takes too much production. Most of us don't have time for that. We're working, right? I got to work during the morning. How about you? I don't have time to sit around here and do a 5 hours production on a show. Matter of fact, my production time tonight will be about 3 minutes after I shut this show off. It'll be, I'll put the ID3 tags in and boom, it's going to the server. So I'll do some more research on that. And maybe the audience will give some feedback too on what they think. I know that the videocasters out there have some strong opinions. We definitely want to hear from them. Okay. Maybe I didn't answer your question there completely. I'll go back and listen to your comment again and see if I can come up with any more points on it. And I should have reviewed it earlier, but I didn't. I apologize. Okay, I've got two promos. You can, and all of you podcasters out there, send your promos to geeknewspromo@gmail.com, geeknewspromo@gmail.com. And, of course, we'll play them on the show. And here's two that I haven't reviewed, so we'll see what we get. And look like they're both pretty tame. So I'll be with you for just a few seconds. Actually, let me give the contact info before we kick out of here. As always, send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. And I know a couple of you did this week and actually left messages. I do appreciate the message you left. It was basically a cause of support. I want to thank you for those. And, all right, let me play these promos. I'll be back with you for a second.
Hi, I'm Airdrie, and I know the difference between a lip smacker and a local area network.
And I'm Carrie Ann, and I know my way around a Juicy Tube and a JPEG file. On March 1st, Lip Gloss and Laptops, a beauty and cosmetics podcast for the thinking woman, premieres.
Each week, we will bring you thoughtful discussion of modern beauty culture and controversies.
Lip collagen, anyone?
We will also bring you reviews of the hottest new beauty products. Let us try before you buy.
5,000 times larger. Do you really want your lashes that thick?
So go on to lipglossandlaptops.com and tell us what your favorite lip gloss is. And subscribe to our new podcast. Speaking of which, do you remember the Avon Fun Burger, popular in the 1970s?
I remember the Avon Chocolate Chip Cookie, but we're going to be talking about lip gloss in our first podcast.
Excellent.
Carrie and Annie, great promo, and make sure that when you guys get up and running, you apply for members over at techpodcast.com. We need a few more ladies on the team over there, and you just reached 9% of our audience that is ladies, so we hope we drive some of the ladies over there to listen to your show. And here's the last promo.
Today we are standing on the threshold of a new world. New currents are forming. A new way of life is evolving.
We now present
something new called
The Frequency Podcast.
Do you want to stay up to date in what's happening with your favorite bands? Want to hear exclusive interviews from today's hottest Christian artists? Plus, win free stuff in exclusive contests?
Then check out The Frequency Podcast at m88.org. m88.org, your number one source.
Number one.
For Jesus freaks everywhere.
All right, sounds like another Christian podcast coming to m88.org. Great promo, guys. All right, folks. I drug this out to 53 minutes. How about that? All right. Well, I'll get you out of here. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on Friday. Aloha.